put in that fast? I said, that's what you wanted, ain't it? He said, yeah, that's what I wanted. You know what he was expecting? About 6 weeks. He's expecting you get it, you'll get to it, you're working in with your schedule. But guess what? I said, that's an easy thing. I'm organized. I can fit this in, not hurt none of anything I got going on. I can get this done. And I went and got it done. And I'm going to tell you, it was impressive to him. Because he just making a round, looked up there, and what he had asked for was done. Now, when he needs something done next time, who he coming to? Who's he more prone to come to? Why? He make things happen. Why is he making things happen? Because he organized. I wasn't the smartest. But you don't have to be the smartest. If you have some good work ethic and you stay organized, that organization, and you listen to the Holy Ghost, and that's key right there. You listen to the Holy Ghost, tell you when to do things and how to get them done and when to go to a place, when to talk to somebody, who you need to talk to. I'd run into dead end after dead end of trying to find help, and I just keep on knocking. Somebody gonna help me. Because I'm sowing the seed. I'm helping anybody that asks me for help, I'm helping them. So I'm expecting, I'm sowing the seed for future help.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you. Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to start off in 2 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 5 and verse 17. And I'll just use it as my launching scripture because there are several I want to visit before we're through. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. May God add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. I want to deal with seeing you or seeing yourself as the Bible sees you. Seeing you as the Bible sees you. It's so important, my brothers and sisters, before I move any further, that I just simply say that most of us miss what God has for us because we don't see us the way God sees us. And in spite of us, God sees us the way He chooses to see us. I've shared before, it's so important to understand this basic fundamental understanding of ourselves, that we are made of flesh and spirit. We are made of dust and divinity. And so most times when we see ourselves, it is limited to the flesh or the natural, and we don't, again, utilize the benefit of the other part of our makeup, which is spirit. And so when we see ourselves the way the Bible says we are, the Bible says the way we are is the way God sees us. Now, the first thing that you've got to know is that there is perhaps a self-image that is destructive to us. It's distorted because it sees us most times in our weaknesses, in our infirmities, in our fallen state, in our weak state. And most times our weak or poor self-image, or the fact that we are not all that we ought to be, brings to many times the point of our being of low self-esteem, because we are looking only in the temporal and in the flesh. And so we need to see ourselves regardless of where we are in the physical or the natural state, the way the Bible or God sees us. Once we begin to get a glimpse, a revelation of how God sees us, and that revelation is spoken or established on the inside of us, we then begin to say what he said and reap what he says we shall reap. We begin to walk in authority. We begin to change the things that are around us because of the things that are in us. And even if the things around us don't change, it does not stop us from changing. Even though things around us may be crumbling, even though people around us may not be right, it does not in any way prohibit us from being right. And so when we see ourselves the way the Bible or God sees us, we then have the power to live victorious lives in spite of what we have or don't have, in spite of what we've accomplished or not have accomplished, in spite of what folk think about us or do not think about us. When we begin to grasp the revelation of what God says I am, and I establish it in my own spirit, then I'm somebody walking with authority that heaven hears. Now look at this word, if you will. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he says in this 17th verse, therefore, another way of saying that is, from now on, if any man, he's not prejudiced, don't care what your color, your creed, your country, don't care any about those things. He says, if any man be in Christ, if any man has a relationship with Christ, look at what this word says. He is a new creature or new creation. Look at what he says. Old things. Now, what qualifies as old things? Old things here refers to the old nature, the old appetite, the old ambitions, the old activities. It means everything in our natural man and the natural desire of the flesh. Old things are passed away. Passed away, which means that they are no longer present to operate in us. Now listen to this. Though they still may have an inkling, or there still may be, because though we are saved, it doesn't mean that we are totally converted. So which means, though it still has some part in us, it is no longer the dominating part. It is no longer the controlling part, because I am a new creation, and the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the Word of God, the Spirit of life has now control over me. I am no longer my own, but Christ who lives in me, and the power of the Holy Ghost are those things that control my being now. Recognizing this, I still realize I have a new nature now. My old nature is passed away. It's no longer in control. I no longer submit to it. It doesn't tell me what to do, and I have to do it. So when I recognize this, I recognize that the old nature is connected to the voice of the enemy. The new nature is connected to the voice of God or his spirit. And so I've got to be careful who's talking to me. Because the old nature that's passed away no longer has the power, the privilege, or the preeminence it used to have. And so I'm no longer, if you will, the slave of that owner. So it can say like it used to say, what it used to say a long time ago, but I don't have to acquiesce to it. I don't have to obey him. And when I know this, then I can turn a deaf ear to him, or I can reject what he has said. But the new man, the new spirit, of the spirit of God that enters in a new manner of control and interest in me, has the ability to speak now because I'm no longer my own, because I've been bought with a price, which means now I live the life the Lord wants me to live, not because of me, but for him. Now listen to this. I want you to see. It says, behold, focus in. Again, same word, primitive. Etymologically speaking, we get binoculars from, and that is so important because whenever you see behold, it means to take a moment and look at it closely, to bring it up close to you. Listen to this. All things are become new. Now, this is important to see because if I have dealt with in this flesh old things, then in my spirit I need to get ready to deal with some new things. And the new things that I'm going to deal with are going to be in all areas of my life. In other words, you don't have old things unless you got new things. Because in the absence of new things, you got the same things. So the only reason why something becomes new in the light of this word is because I'm looking at it in reference to that is old, no longer usable, no longer desirable. And so those things no longer fit me anymore. And so then that's the reason why you give or get rid of old things, because you'll find yourself trying to get back in them. Y'all can act holier than thou if you want to. But if they are no longer usable for you, if they're no longer desirable by you, why keep them hanging on? Why keep them hanging around? You can't get no new stuff in your closet because you got all that old stuff. Is a 6, you a 12. Talking about I'm gonna get back in that one day. Old things. Passed away. Behold, just came back from shopping. All things are. Oh, y'all understand that, don't you? They're new. But if it's new, then it's relevant. And if it's new, it's prevalent. And if it's new, it means that it is for me today, the way that I am today. Not how I hope to be, but the way I am now. And the Lord always meets us where we are, not where we're going to be. That's why when you begin the transformation, you must always begin where you are, because you can't begin where you're not. And so God takes us the way that we are. Notice God never tells us to let this go, do this, and get rid of that and all the rest of it before he accepts us, because he knows outside of his power, we can't do it on our own. We don't have the power to do it because we're warring with spiritual warfare. And so he's the only one who empowers us to give us the ability in our new created state to get rid of and to let go and to put things behind us that were things of the past and not anything now of the new, since I am a new creation. Now look at this, because I need to see this. When I become saved, the next step is becoming sanctified. living a saved life, a converted life. Now listen to this, because that's the ministry of the Holy Ghost, to sanctify us, to set us apart and to make us what God wants us to be. And I've got to see that that is an ongoing reality. Just because I become saved right now when I accept the Lord Jesus Christ does not mean that everything that once was in me is no longer in me. It means literally, once I become saved, everything that was in control and that was in authority no longer is in control and is in authority. So that means then, if I know that and see that, that means then that the flesh begins to die daily, or the appetites or the desires or those things that I used to do and had joy doing them and took those things to liberty and had no conviction of those things. No longer do those things have the same point, place, and power in my life since I've become saved. But it doesn't mean that I've become sanctified totally overnight. I'm sanctified by the Word of God, the washing of the Word. The Word of God begins to create the change in me, and we're going to show you these things. But the whole point of this message is seeing you the way the Bible says you are. Now listen again. It says, therefore, or from here on, if any man, don't care who you are, have a relationship with Christ, be in Christ, he is, not he shall be. Not we hope he becomes, but he is a new creature or creation. All things, look at this, automatically are passed away. Behold, all things automatically are become new. Now that's important, because when you see this, I want you to turn to 1 John, if you will. 1 John, not St. John. Chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this word is how John brings up what he sees us as now, not as we shall be. Look at what he says. He says, beloved, now, not when we get it together, not when we grow and mature in the Lord, but now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. Listen to this. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, this is not suggesting again that we are perfect, but it does suggest that we are walking toward perfection. It doesn't suggest that we are without sin. It just means that we no longer willfully sin without conviction and confession. I mean, you know, when you get to the point where you can sin without conviction and sin without confession, you are not a child of God. See, because if you can sin and it don't bother you, then you are not who you say you are. Now, it didn't mean that we don't sin, because John said, listen, if we say we have no sin, we are lying, and we're making God out of a liar, and the truth is not in us. Because even though we may be in this state of salvation given unto us through Christ Jesus, again, remember, though we're saved from the penalty of sin, though we're saved from the power of sin, the truth of the matter is we have not yet been delivered from the presence of sin. So that means the influence to the flesh is a natural pull on the natural man, which means as long as I'm here in this flesh and among sinful folk, I am influenced to sin. What I watch on TV influences my thoughts. What I read and look in magazines influence my thoughts. The conversations I have with people, whether they're holy or unholy, they affect my thoughts. And all of these things have influences on me.
And even if the flesh does not fully act upon the thought, if the thought does not line up with the word, then I think myself into sin. How many of you know really most times before we really, really, really sin, we done thought about it? Just sitting here thinking. I mean, some of you already got planned what you're going to do when you get out of church. Some of you progressive thinkers have already got next week all figured out. Next month, next year, this, that, and the other. I mean, you know, you've gone on to that world of sin thinking, and though it has not happened, it has already started and begun in your mind. Am I right about it? Just this much. Now, you ain't got to own up to it, but the fact that you are here in flesh and that, listen again, you cannot always control the thoughts that come to your mind, but you do have the ability to decide whether or not you're going to produce it or develop it in your mind. Because when the devil introduces a bad thought in your mind, you have the right to reject that. Say, no, 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 send this mail back to where it came from. This does not belong to me anymore. I am a new creation. Old thing. Devil, that stuff is from the past. You need to take that back. I ain't him no more. You need to say, you ain't her no more. That is for the old you. Now, do you got some new mail for the new me? I said, do you got some new mail for the new me? Because if you don't, that old, I ain't receiving that. You know, you find some folk from your past, from the old, and you see them, and they're like, hey, what you doing? And you go back, y'all go from nothing. You say, yeah, no, not no more. I don't do that no more. What? Man, we used to be like that, you know what I'm saying? I've been delivered. I've been saved. I've been set free. Now, let me tell you about the man who did this for me. His name is Jesus. And what, man, look, I know where you are, but you don't have no idea where I am. I want you to have the joy and the high you get, and you ain't got to smoke no weed, ain't got to drink no wine. I'm talking about the high I wake up with is a natural high, well, supernatural high. It makes me run, ain't nobody behind me. Laughing ain't nothing funny. I mean, I cry and ain't a thing wrong. Man, you don't know the joy I've got. Let me tell you, his name is Jesus. He make me do stuff I don't even want to do. And I just give him the glory because he's got this thing. Thanks. See, then they be looking at you like, all right, I'm going to catch you on the run, buddy. Either that or they going to want to know, well, tell me some more, man. And you begin to witness because you are a new creation. And can I tell you, you want to know if you're really a new creation? Just go around some old friends. Of folk of the old world, because they are the ones who really know whether or not you've been born again or recreated, because they know all of the buttons to push. They know how to ring your bell. And if they can't do it to the new you, they know you've been changed and rearranged. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Look again. I want you to see something else. Now turn, if you will, because we want to see ourselves. Go to James, if you don't mind. James chapter 1. Now this is interesting because, you know, you're sitting here hearing the word, but you got to do more than hear the word. Hearing is only part of it. Hearing gives you the knowledge, the wisdom, the know-how, but you've got to have the willingness to do what you know. Look at what James says, chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now listen at this. Notice that's why the word says be slow to wrath, because a lot of times in our wrath, we lose the word in our upset state.
When you've gotten upset and you've lost your ability to judge and you've lost your ability to be calm and controlled by the word and by the will and by the way of God, you then start doing things that are out of the will of God because of your own wrath. And sometimes if you know that you can't handle a certain thing, you need to back away from it and cool down. I mean, every man should know his or her limit. And you should not be in a place where you let people push you beyond your limit. Because what happens when people push you beyond your limit, you then get out of yourself. Listen to me well. You become out of control when you are out of your and beyond your limit. You are then in the flesh. The spirit controls the flesh, but if you push the spirit back and take control yourself, you will act out of the flesh. And how many times, and listen, if you got any God in you, how many times have you allowed somebody to do that and you hurt worse than you ever hurt them? Because one, you know you displeased God and you got out of your place and you acted a plumb fool. And all the forgiveness in the world won't help that because you have come out of that place that God has assigned for you. Now I want you to see this because look what he says again. He says, verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now look at what he says again, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, extreme and unnecessary and useless naughtiness, going beyond, just excessively so, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. One translation says implanted. And whether it's implanted or engrafted, the understanding is the same. And here's what you need to know, that it is the word that is able to save your souls. It is, in other words, your situation, keep you in control, keep you calm, keep you collected, give you the wisdom to know how to operate. It is the word that does that. So this is it. If it is engrafted, it means then that it is mixed with. It is, listen again. Now, the difference between something that is simply mixed as opposed to implanted or engrafted means that it is literally, purposefully connected to what is to make it what it will become. So now, the word of God that is to be engrafted in you, you already are in existence. God made you and here you are. But he wants to create some changes in you. So the way that he does that is he takes this word and he begins to put this word purposefully in you by his spirit. When you read the word, when you come to that place where you hear the word, you then begin to allow God to take this word and sow it into you, parts of your life. Every area that this word affects in your life, the Spirit of God literally desires to sow this word in so that it begins to take root, so that it begins to take hold. It's like someone has been burned or someone has been cut or maimed or face has been restructured. Sometime they have to take skin from different parts of your body. And then they sew it in to and over or connected to the place that the skin is desired to graft in and become with, mixed with the old, and create a brand new experience, a brand new area. In other words, that burned area then becomes like the new or the rest of the other part of your skin because it has been engrafted in with that's been messed up. And God takes that is right and worthy with that's been messed up. And the Holy Ghost every day in the spirit realm engages in surgery on the believers.
He's working on one part or another. It's either in my thoughts, it's either in my walk, it's in my heart, it's in my flesh, it's in some part of me that he is performing surgery, engrafting the word that I read into me, establishing that word. Now listen to this. This is why it talks about the engrafted word, because there's a reason for it later. If the word is just slapped on you like a Band-Aid,